Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Are you making full use of your savings? Think of the times you've yearned for better returns. After real inflation, which is now close to 8%, taxes, etc., are you even making a profit? With food, clothing, and rent all more than doubling over the last 10 years, you need to do something different. Gambling on stocks might lose you a lot. And of course, wouldn't it be great to retire stress-free? A precious metals IRA with Noble Gold just might be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. These coins were around when an ounce of silver was worth an actual dollar. An 1893 example in mint condition is now worth around $3,250. This is the power of long-term precious metals investing. So get in touch with the experts at Noble Gold and talk through your options today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
There's an encrypted messenger that is not connected to your phone number, that is end-to-end encrypted. There's a very strong encryption that nobody can read. Even Bastion servers that are run by users can't read your one-on-one messages because it's strongly encrypted. If you use messengers like WhatsApp or Telegram, they're not all encrypted peer-to-peer. Like, there are some messengers that are encrypted peer-to-peer, like Signal and so on, but they're not integrated into a social network. So here you can actually invite your friends and you can have chats in here that are totally protected, that are not even connected to your name.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for tuning in. What happens if the powers that ought not be take down your favorite source for truth? Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute? Then what happens? A denial of service attack, or worse, a cyber attack, as the enemies of humanity continue to warn, is right around the corner. Well, I'm happy to present a very real-world solution to that problem. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Just because the world is in chaos doesn't mean your finances should be. Invest in cryptocurrency with MyDigitalMoney.com. You can buy and sell crypto in your crypto IRA to enjoy tax advantages or trade in cash. No need for multiple platforms. All your crypto investing needs in one platform. MyDigitalMoney.com also has US-based phone support. You can call MyDigitalMoney.com for help or any questions, and you'll get a real live human being to talk to, right here in the United States. Go to MyDigitalMoney.com. That's MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. I have a real treat for you here, I think. I want to introduce you to a new concept, a new platform that's new to me. I'm not even on it yet, but boy, is my interest piqued. It's called Bastion.com, as in bastion of free speech. And unlike all of the other platforms out there, Rumble would be a good example, which is certainly enriching and stuffing the pockets of those who first launched Rumble, as Rumble goes quasi-public and gets absorbed by a larger conglomerate. Bastion is like Bitcoin. It's open source, and there's no central figure, no COO, no CEO, but I do have on the line Daniel Sachkov, and he's the lead developer of Bastion, and I'm very delighted to have this conversation. How are you, Daniel?
I'm well, Sean. Thank you for having me. Love your show.
Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks to Sarah Westall for introducing us. I'm really delighted to have this conversation with you because as we're speaking today, the New York Times finally discovers free speech after years calling for big tech censorship. Yes, the same people who said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian propaganda, Russian disinformation, was not a legitimate laptop. Now, of course, they are admitting it is, now that bumbling Joe Biden is president, which he ought not be. The New York Times editorial board declared Friday that people should be able to express unpopular positions without being canceled or shut out of public discourse. A free flow of information is essential for democracy, not a republic. It's a democracy to function, the editors argued. Well, how convenient, Daniel, that they're saying this now when so many of us were blown off YouTube and blown off Patreon and terminated without cause, without reason, without warning on the back of Media Matters for America hit pieces. Just now, 2 years later, the New York Times says unpopular positions should be allowed on the internet. Wow, what a bunch of sweeties. Thank you, New York Times. What do you make of anything I just said? And what do you make of Rumble versus Bastion? I'm just curious, because the insiders at Rumble are getting rich as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're not going to let you back on YouTube. So, like, what they, I think they're in a place where they feel like they have enough of a strangle on a public discourse that they can allow the pretense of free speech. And that's why they're writing this. They want to go back to being, you know, a little bit more vague. So for a while, they just were all out, you know, communist. And now they're a little bit more, you know, oh, we were for freedom. But can you undo what the damage that has been done? It would certainly take a lot more than an op-ed or whatever. So I don't believe it. I'm sure you don't. As far as Rumble, honestly, I've been so involved in this project, Bastion. It's actually Bastion with a Y. So if you go bastion.com, it's not I, it's Y. That I haven't paid a whole lot of attention. I will say a lot of this about Rumble and any other platform. So the idea with Bastion is to overcome the censorship. And that's a bit vague, but in 2015, 2016, when I had this idea, I talked to people and they were like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, some one blogger here or there will be banned, but it will not come to this. And I said, no. They're going to go all the way. And unfortunately, I think we're not even halfway to depend, you know, there. I think it's going to get much worse. And the core idea of Bastion, you know, and this is talking about Rumble or Parler or whatever, is that we looked at, and I looked at the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, and I try to analyze analytically, what are the core problems that make them so pernicious, right? And I think we'll agree that they're pretty bad for society, for discourse, you know, and a lot of people like to hate on personalities, right? Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, but it's really much deeper than that. The deep analysis shows that these corporate platforms will all go through the same life cycle. And Rumble is not going to be different. It really doesn't depend on who founds it. You know, a founder could be a great person, freedom-oriented, whatever. But the life cycle of a platform is that it always gives you something. It gives, loses money, takes VC money or whatever to do that. And it gives you great service. It gives you very fast video. You know, everything loads because there's huge expenses, as you know, with the video platforms. And then everything works great. And then at some point, they start to take it back. So first, they take it back in money, advertising, and so on. But then they get to a very simple realization because they really become really big. They become quasi-monopolies. So they can acquire any competitors, right? Like Facebook acquired WhatsApp, acquired Instagram. And they can say, okay, why do I even need to do, you know, this advertising? I don't need to focus on that. I can actually own your mind, right? And there's a Israeli professor, I forgot his name, but he's an advisor, I think, to a lot of these entities. He said, we have to abandon the idea of humans being, you know, free will creatures. Human is a hackable animal, as he says. We can hack your brain. So the platform that is quasi-monopoly, that feels like it, you know, basically owns you, can now try to hack your brain. That's what they've been pretty much doing. The question becomes, you know, is it Rumble or whatever? Remember Twitter, when it started, Jack Dorsey said, well, if there's a free speech wing of a free speech party, Twitter would be it, right? So he was supposedly very freedom oriented. WhatsApp was started by Brian Acton, who was a freedom speech activist. And still, when WhatsApp was presented with $19 billion, he caved, right? And then later, he said, I don't sleep very well. I sold my users down the river. But the point is that it's not about this or that person. It's the nature of a corporate platform that will always sell out its users in the end, will try to control them. So, and Rumble, I think, is no different. Doesn't matter who's behind it. Like you talked about the IPO, I read those news. It is going to be owned by the same investors that own Google, essentially, and so on. It's going to be doing the same thing. It's going to be doing that same thing when it deems appropriate, right? When they feel that their position is quasi-monopolistic, they're going to do that. And by the way, over the last 20 years, there was, you know, they essentially, those corporations could get free money from the Fed, right? So we didn't have that in history. So not only have the internet, which is a very powerful leverage mechanism, you have the Fed money that made those platforms like ubiquitous, you know, all-encompassing. And when they start to control you, not when they feel like it, but when they feel it's the right time, they can do that. So my fear is that with any corporate platform, that time is going to come sooner or later. So whatever time you invest in the platform, you have to understand that if it's a corporate platform, it will happen. And I'm not against business, right? I'm for free markets, but we don't have free markets in the United States for a long time now.
Right.
These corporations are not free market mechanisms. These are
monopolies. They're 100% monopolies. And that's exactly what Rockefeller always wanted. He wanted to have monopolies. He never wanted a fair and open competition in the marketplace.
Yeah, because there's always be creative destruction and so on.
Yeah.
Destruction. They don't want that.
And that's what we get now. And Jack Dorsey, in my view, is a demonic entity when it comes to free speech, just as the CEO of Patreon is Jack Conti, a complete total douchebag. And I use that term specifically because I cannot stand that man. He does not stand for anything but lining his own pockets and Media Matters for America, because Patreon banned a bunch of people, including me, about 2 years ago on the back of another Media Matters for America hit piece. And guess what? The hits keep coming. Let me do another screen share. You think you're safe on Patreon just because you survived a couple of purges that took me and others out?
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quarter, and I'm sad to report that, the left, the left-leaning company, Patreon, is at it again with another ban wave, including one that hit a good friend of mine, Sydney Watson.
I'll pause it there. I'll come back to you. The point here, Daniel, is no one is safe, and evidently Sydney Watson got terminated by Patreon without cause, without warning, because conservative speech. Because Jack Conti, the demonic entity in control of Patreon, doesn't like free speech or conservative speech. And you know what they label it? You know what they love to call it? Hate speech. See, anything they don't agree with, Daniel, is hate speech. And as somebody with a Russian background, you came to our country, you came to the United States from Russia at age 15 in 1993 because you love our country, because you love freedom, because you want to be in the Republic of the United States, run by a government by and for the people. But guess what, Daniel? At this point in human history, we do not have a government by and for the people. But I'm happy to have Bastion.com, which I will sign up for. And what inspired you to make it open source, open platform, decentralized?
Well, I view it as a necessity, right? I described to you the evils of the corporate platforms in this day and age. What we need is actually the antidote to that. And Bastion is the antidote because it's non-corporate, right? And I'm not a CEO. I don't even actually write the code. There are almost 30 developers around the world now that just work on this, just like Bitcoin, right? So Bastion is like a Bitcoin of social networks because built on the crypto foundation. It doesn't have any central servers. It runs on users' machines, and users earn a cryptocurrency called Pocketcoin for running it. So there's not even a way, like Parler, remember, it was just dropped by Amazon overnight. The servers were stopped. With Bastion, you can't do that because servers around the world are like dozens of countries now. So it is decentralized in many ways. Non-corporate servers are decentralized. Open source is a necessity because we want to, like, for example, with YouTube, right? They can shadow ban you. Google can shadow ban the results of search, but they could not do that if the code was open source. You could see that. With Bastion, every line of code is open source. So you can go ahead and go to GitHub. And if you're a programmer, you can see if we ever did anything pernicious, if the programmers did that, you will see that. That's one thing. But there's another thing too. You cannot rely on humans, right? That's why looking at this new freedom social network and saying, well, I trust this guy or I don't trust this guy. We want to take that out of the equation. So the code is not just open source, it's distributed under what's called Apache license. It's a very liberal license in that it allows you to copy the code, fork it. So in other words, if the developers of Bastion ever try to do something, you know, these are humans, right? They could be pressured, whatever, though it's kind of hard to pressure 30 people across like three continents. But if they were, other developers could easily fork Bastion and create a new code and just run the original Bastion network. Imagine if, like, when YouTube banned you and banned a few other big bloggers, you could get together, get three or four developers, and just run original YouTube. How awesome would that be, right? With Bastion, you could do that. If there's a problem with the network, you can just run a copy of it. You get a few technical people. It's not that hard now. and you run a copy of it. So the non-corporate open source nature of the platform is not like our wish list. This is not like a sexy, you know, web Silicon Valley thing. It's not. It's actually crucial to the core of Bastion, because we believe that, in fact, censorship will get much worse, right? I will tell you, and this may not be happy news, but I believe that right now, when they've banned a lot of people like you, influencers that have an alternative opinion, and then these people diversified, right? There's BitChute, which is a great platform, actually. There's many other places, but there's also websites, right? Infowars.com, Alex Jones has, whatever, different opinions. I believe that the next wave of censorship will happen on the domain level. In other words, we may see some way where a lot of the domains stop working, whether it's a cyber attack or whatever, I don't know, right? But it could be. It could be under the guise of, you know, whatever, these events that are happening in Ukraine, but the websites can just come down because they feel like they've banned a lot of people. People found a way to get away from the system, but they really need to ban a lot of the domains. And that's why Bastion, right? I talk about bastion.com, B-A-S-T-Y-O-N. You can go there and register. It takes like 30 seconds. There's no private information. It's not connected to your phone number or to your identity. Even an email is not required. So if you go register there, bastion.com is good, but you can go there and you can download an application for the computer. It's called a desktop application. So not a mobile phone. There is a mobile phone. You can use it on a mobile phone, but on a desktop computer, there's an application for Windows, Mac, that will actually work even if the domains stop working. And that's really important, because if you remember a few months back, when Facebook was down, all of a sudden, like, large swaths of the internet were down worldwide. Bastion.com may have been down, but the desktop application was actually working, because it doesn't work through the centralized DNS system. It works directly with the nodes worldwide. So in the event, you know, you can think of it as like a presidential communication system for bloggers and just social network users, right? That's what it is. It's a thing that will work even in the cases where large parts of the internet is down. So because of we adopted this decentralized network based on the concept of Bitcoin, non-corporate, we're able to avoid a lot of the problems, right? And also we don't have any shareholders. There's no fundraising. There's no equity, no board of directors. This is a platform that's essentially free. With one caveat, though, we don't call it a no censorship platform, because censorship has to be there, except in Bastion, censorship is done by the users. If you're a user for a long time, you get this kind of reputation where people know that you're a valid user. You can then moderate content. And there are very three simple rules, right? Very simple. First is there's no pornography of any kind. It's actually a very clean platform. You'll see it. It's much cleaner than, let's say, Facebook, which actually caters to a lot of disgusting stuff. There's no illegal narcotics, and there are no direct threats of violence. Very simple rules that users enforce. Now, there's nothing like, oh, I'm offended by this, or it's hate speech. This is just slippery slope that we know where it leads. So Bastion is the answer that we've been working on for 5 years, right? Without funding, without venture capitals or anything, on this solution, which is now growing a lot. It's added like 50,000 users in the past 10 days alone.
Yeah, this is a really cool site, bastion.com right here, guys. I just signed up. Well, Daniel was talking very, 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 very simple. It took literally 30 seconds. And similar to cryptocurrency, instead of me entering a password, I was able to enter my username, and then it gave me my private key. I think it's a 12-word phrase. I've already cut and pasted. I've already copied that 12-word phrase. Yeah, so that's a lot like cryptocurrency. This is pretty cool. I'm signed up on Bastion now, Daniel.
Yeah, so the private key is very, very important. By the way, email is not required. It's optional, because you can enter it only to receive news. It's not connected to your account in any way, and it's optional. The key is the private key. It's a 12-word phrase that you can use to log in from any device, anywhere. It's very important that you don't lose it. Write it down on a piece of paper, because we cannot restore it, right? This is not Google where, oh, I can restore my password. Sometimes people get upset about that. They say, well, it's so easy to use Google. But remember, this ease is a way to kind of break your will, to get you used to be dependent. Because if somebody can reset your password, guess what? They have full access to your account. and Bastion, not even developers have access to your account. Your private key is yours and yours alone. You have to keep it safe. You have to remember it. Otherwise, that's it. You have to start a new account. So it will work on all the platforms, and nobody can take away the subscribers from a blogger. Basically, it's very transparent. So it is a lot like Bitcoin, and that's the idea.
Yeah, and let me just say, I got a verification now of the account from PocketNet. We should let people know it used to be called PocketNet app, and now it's Bastion.com. So don't let that throw you guys when you get an email update registration email from PocketNet. That is Bastion.
Yeah, that I think developers are fixing that. So it's very easy to register. When you go to Bastion.com, in the left side, left-hand pane, you will see different categories that you can pick to read what you want, basically filter. On the top part, you can post stuff. And on the left side, a little bit lower, you can see applications. There, I really recommend, if you care about censorship and you're worried about it, go and download the application for, if you scroll down a bit on the left, you see this says applications, Block Explorer FAQ applications. There's just...
Right there. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, go there. If you have a Windows or whatever, Mac, download the app. This app will work even in the event of major disruptions of the internet. And unfortunately, I really foresee that happening soon. So this is for Mac. And this desktop app is really, really important because it connects directly with different nodes. In fact, I will tell you, I don't know if you remember this, there were a few months ago, there were events in Kazakhstan, which was kind of like, who knows what it's called, revolution or something. There were major upheaval and government blocked the internet. But you know what? In these cases, government didn't block all of the internet, because if they blocked all of the internet, they couldn't communicate them. A lot depends on it, right? This would be chaos. They blocked the DNS, meaning that the websites didn't work. But the Bastion desktop app actually did work. There was a user from Kazakhstan that posted a video of going to different websites, which didn't load. Even Bastion.com didn't load, but they went to the desktop app and they were able to actually read the news. So having that desktop app, again, it's like a presidential, you know, communication service for you and your bloggers you follow. It could be, you know, it's fun to use every day, but it could also be very, you know, life-saving in the situation where there's no other sources of information.
Hey, friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Just a quick word about our sponsor. You know inflation is killing your retirement. The real rate of inflation, it's close to 8%, and it won't let you keep up or make a profit. You really need a different approach. Precious metals, which by the way has gold nearing $2,000 an ounce again, not Robin Hood or stocks that can crash and leave you losing your money, an IRA or 401k with Noble Gold just may be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. Find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah, this is really cool. I'm really glad we're having this conversation. I will put Bastion on my radar, and I will try to start posting there as well, because I see the value here. Because as I mentioned, Rumble is really becoming a bit of a gorilla, because even Locals co-founder Dave Rubin has rolled Locals into Rumble. So it's become kind of its own conservative conglomerate. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know if they treat all of the producers of content the same way. I feel like there's certain producers who are always on the front page being promoted by Rumble. And that's just an aside. By the way, BitChute, my hat's off to Ray over at BitChute. I really do like BitChute. And in December, Daniel, you'll appreciate this, because so many people are moving away from YouTube because their favorite content creators are no longer there. In December of this last year here, BitChute had 44 million visitors. That's wow. Pretty significant, you know?
That's,
I mean,
sad. I didn't know that. Yeah. My hat's off to them,
yeah, real growth, real free speech. And Bastion is another place. It's ironic that you come from Russia. All we hear in the mainstream media year after year after year is it's Russia bad. Putin got Trump elected. Never mind the stadiums filled with people that wanted to hear Trump speak. Russia is terrible. Russia is the heart of darkness. Never mind the Clinton Foundation. Never mind child trafficking in Haiti with Laura Silsby and Bill Clinton coming to the aid of Laura Silsby. Never mind any of that. It's Russia bad, Putin bad, Ukraine good. It's just all nonsense. And I'm glad that you, a Russian, are in our country helping us maintain our free speech, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. I mean, I came to the States because I really was fascinated by the concept of freedom and the republic. I mean, you correctly pointed out the difference with democracy. I know it very well. You know, American history very well, the history of Civil War. That was very interesting to me. I didn't stop being Russian. I love Russian culture. I'm an Orthodox Christian, so I don't disavow that part of my life for sure. I feel like Bastion for me, more than just a tool to overcome censorship, we're coming to a place where things are getting pretty dark, right? You know that right now, for example, Russian outlets, many of the Russian news outlets, right? However right or wrong they are, they were banned by major social networks. In turn, Russian government banned these social networks. So now all of a sudden we're having this situation where people in Russia can't hear different viewpoints a lot of the time. People in America don't get a different viewpoint. They just get one viewpoint. I feel like no matter how wrong or right your viewpoint is, that's dangerous. When you're just hearing an echo of your own opinions all the time, you lose ability to think, you lose ability to actually interact. We have to live together in this world. So these people that are only hearing the same kind of propaganda, when they meet people with another opinion, instead of engaging them in a conversation, they get furious because they think that they're like evil, right? And this is where current type of like legacy type of social networks, I feel like I call them asocial networks, because they always lead you into these little reservations with like-minded people. And that I think is not healthy in any way. You want to be able to have a conversation, even if your opinions are radically different. Like in Bastion, you will see that. Even though, of course, most people that will go to Bastion are conservative just by dint of, you know, them being banned everywhere. But there are different viewpoints and people do argue them. And I think that's healthy, right? It's funny that New York Times rediscovered that in 2022 after basically calling for purges, you know, all this time. So my hope is that Bastion will become a place of freedom, but also like a little bridge that between people of different, that can bring us a little bit together, because, you know, so basically society worldwide is fractured in many ways, and a fractured society cannot function other than to just fight it, you know, civil wars, which is what we're seeing in a lot of places, kind of maybe not hot civil wars, but cold ones. And we do need to, at least to some degree, to mend our differences and come to some reasonable place, get away from this kind of flood of propaganda that just, you know, maddens people. We had 2 years of medical, you know, not insanity. Now there's different kinds of insanity coming. And I hope Bastion, I mean, it's not a panacea, but certainly it's a place of sanity in the sense that you get different viewpoints. Everything is transparent. Like you said on Rumble, it's, you don't know what's going on in the code base, right? Maybe they're pushing somebody else. Well, in Bastion, you don't have to ask that question because the code is open. And I feel like why did Bitcoin become so prominent, right? It's not because, it's not about speculation and all that. I mean, certainly there is speculation, but Bitcoin became successful because we're living in an increasingly, you know, opaque world, in very fast changing world, like, you know, future shock. People are shocked by the pace of change and they cannot find a grip. And so everything is fluid, right? You don't even know the money, right? The US dollar, where does it come from? Who decides how much of it is created? Where does it go? It's like all completely opaque and in flux. Whereas Bitcoin is something transparent and stable because, you know, you can see what's going on. You can see how many Bitcoins are made. That's why it's so expensive. Well, Bastion is based on the same concept. It is transparent to everybody and it's stable. Here are the rules. And there's, you know, basically if somebody deviates from the rules, just create basically a different copy will be created and it'll be run. So I'm hoping that this decentralization, you know, that we'll see darker times for sure. But my hope is that beyond these darker times, we'll see better times if there are tools for people to come together and kind of defend against this.
Yeah, I think that's well said. This is a tool. It's a tool to add to our toolkit, bastion.com. Let me do another screen share. You can help coach us up on this. So I tried, as you were speaking there, I wanted to upload a recent video I did, an interview with Todd Callender and Dr. Lieve Leet. Tell us about Pcoin. Evidently, you need to have 50 established posts or you need to have Pcoin. And I don't own any Pcoin, guys. Daniel hasn't given me any Pcoin, but it's asking me to fill out this form, sort of proving who I am and that I am sort of an established creator. So I've supplied my BitChute channel, my Rumble channel, my Odyssey channel, and explained that my accounts were terminated by YouTube, Twitter, Patreon, etc.
Anybody can fill out this form and you will receive Pocket Coin. The reason for this forum, I will explain to you. So YouTube allows to allows everybody to upload. Why? Because they've received billions of dollars. Why did they receive billions of dollars? Because they're going to essentially control your mind. Whereas with Bastion, the videos live on the servers around the world. And you know, video platforms require massive amounts of space and bandwidth. So we cannot allow just because we don't check for your identity, no phone number, no ID. We don't know if somebody creates a bot account, right? You can create many bots and try to upload videos until you kill our servers. So we need to know. You don't have to have Pocketcoin. You can just be on the platform for a while. And then eventually you get a basically allowance to load videos quite a bit. If you're a human, you basically fill out this form. You send the developers, it goes to volunteer developers who, you know, work for Pocketcoin. They have some Pocketcoin. They will just gift it to you. So you don't need to be Sean, right? Sean is a big blogger. You will get Pocketcoin, no problem. But everybody else does. There are people who have like 10 followers on YouTube. They'll still say, the point is not Pocketcoin. And by the way, it costs nothing to upload videos. It's free. The Pocketcoin just has to be in the account, in the wallet. And the reason for that is, again, to defend against what's called denial of service attacks. So people don't just flood the servers with video. YouTube doesn't need to do that because they first of all check your identity. They track your IP address and they have billions of dollars from bankers essentially to own you. We don't. So we need to make sure that only real people get to upload it. And you can establish that you're a real person by being on the platform for a while or putting some Pocketcoin into your account. But you don't need to necessarily buy it. The developers will send you some so you can upload the videos. You just fill out this form. Typically within an hour, you'll get an email, somebody saying, we gave you the Pocketcoin, go ahead and upload it. So it's going to be very simple.
Yeah, I should explain too that Odyssey has sort of a similar model in that there is some sort of Odyssey crypto attached to those accounts. I'm not exactly sure how it works. I've got a bunch of Odyssey coin. I think they're valueless, but they sort of help operate the platform. Am I stating that correctly? Are you familiar with Odyssey at all?
I'm familiar with it. I don't think they're valueless. I actually think that like SEC or something went after them. So I certainly support them in what they do. I think that Odyssey is different from Bastion in that there is some corporate entity behind it. Also, I think their terms of service are quite a bit more complex than Bastion. I think there are things like hate speech or something, but I don't want to be certain. I just heard that from bloggers, but I support Odyssey in their fight. So I'm not like trying to badmouth them. They do have a cryptocurrency. It's worth something. I don't know what it's worth right now. And I don't know how you upload the video there, but the concept overall is somewhat similar. The difference is that Odyssey is a corporate platform. I think they did some fundraising maybe, which is a bit different than Bastion. Not a bit, but fundamentally different from Bastion.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So you say the SEC went after Odyssey. I guess that makes sense.
Right.
I just went in to
That's
look
right.
at Odyssey. They call them credits. And I went in to hit the buy just to see what the symbol was. And it says, sorry, the service is currently unavailable. See, of course, the criminal SEC would target Odyssey. Meanwhile, JP Morgan and Bank of America are allowed to sell billions of paper ounces of silver and gold into the market on a daily basis to cap the price. And Gary Gensler, the former head of the CFTC, now the head of the SEC, does nothing to stop the real criminality. And in addition to that, notice, isn't it interesting, Daniel, that there's a Bitcoin futures ETF, but there cannot be an actual Bitcoin ETF that settles in actual physical Bitcoin, real Bitcoin. Why? Because Gary Gensler cares so much about the little guy, which is preposterous. These people are I'm so sick of this demonic, crooked system, Daniel. And at the end of the day, Daniel, that's why we should be supporting guys like you and platforms like Bastion.
Yeah, thank you. And I think Bastion is something that you will really need. It's fundamentally different. You mentioned a lot of platforms, and a lot of them are good in their own way, but they're all kind of in the vein of YouTube and Facebook anyway, right? They're just corporations, but with good guys, right? But the good guys can go bad or can be convinced to go bad, right? The thing with Bastion is that there are some, let's say, safeguards against people manipulating the platform or creating basically killing it, right? Because you can fork it and create a new version which actually there are developers now working on alternative versions of Bastion. And that's cool that because let's say all your followers, Sean, on Bastion, they will work on all of these forks. So if you fork Bastion, create a new version of it, you keep all your subscribers. You will never lose them. You know, when you're on YouTube, the subscribers are not yours. They're YouTube subscribers. They just allow you to peruse them temporarily, right? You peruse them until they decide that it's enough. Then they stop showing your videos to your own subscribers.
Yeah, that's right. Let me just back you up there and say, as it pertains to YouTube, when they purged my account, they terminated my account in October of 2020 without cause or warning. I had no community guideline strikes. I had 740,000 subscribers on one channel, over 100,000 subscribers, I think 130,000 or so on the other channel. And I never got those user emails. So you're right. They were my subscribers, but they were essentially the property of YouTube, right? I didn't get to contact those people.
That's
to even let them
fact,
know,
right?
Right. To even let them know where they could find my work after YouTube terminated my account, in my view, illegally, which is why we're still trying to sue YouTube and Google over that illegal criminal purge. So sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say that.
No. This is you're one of the first people to really experience this, right? The brunt of this, because clearly your opinions were important enough for them to go after you.
Well, and I do find it interesting, again, nothing against Dan Bongino. I like his show. I like his viewpoint. But it's interesting that people like Dave Rubin, a conservative, we're told, and Dan Bongino, they both still enjoy having their YouTube channels as they've built these other platforms that are enriching them. And they built the other platforms on the back of all the terminated creators because there was a need. So I'm glad they did that. But how ironic that some people still get to have YouTube channels and prosper elsewhere, while others of us are literally just at every turn terminated. It feels like the old Soviet Union. I mean, it feels like a communist takeover of the United States by fascist corporations, Daniel.
Well, yeah, it's that's one of the reasons I was able to recognize it so early, I think, because I'm well versed in history and I had firsthand experience. I'll tell you that the 1980 Soviet Union, when I was a kid, I was pretty well aware. You know, my dad, for example, was never a member of the Communist Party, and he was like a stellar engineer and a top student, couldn't get an engineering job because he was not a member of Communist Party. So I was very, you know, attuned to what was going on. But I will tell you that even in the Soviet Union in the 80s, the censorship was in some sense not as bad, believe it or not. Because in the Soviet Union in the 80s, you didn't have to you could be silent. You had a right to not say anything. You couldn't speak up against the party line, but you could just sort of silently step aside and say, I'm not going to participate in this. Whereas in the States now, it's getting to a point where you can't even be silent. You have to sort of bend the knee, right? And which is going further, much further than like in the Soviet Union, for example, there was no attacks on family, right? The family wasn't touched. So I noticed the same totalitarian notes, but it's like a really different rhyme this time, a different theme, which to me is really, really scary.
Yeah, it is scary, but fortunately, a large portion of the population is waking up. There's about 30% that will never be able to wake up. They're sleepwalkers, they're zombies, they're beyond help. But the good news is this tyranny, this fascism, this treason we're seeing at the highest levels of corporations and our own government is starting to be recognized by many, many people. Guys, I'm going to make my first post here. This is very simple. I didn't know. I just could add the BitChute address of my last video and it would populate here. So I don't even have to upload it specifically to the platform here at Bastion, but we'll add a couple of tags here. Fauci.
Yeah, we actually went to, you know, we're not viewing this as a zero-sum game. We went to great lengths to integrate BitChute. It's very, very difficult. It's not like as easy as YouTube. There's no API. And so maybe we should connect with BitChute and make it better. But we went to great lengths to allow you to do that. Now, of course, if you upload a native video, you'll get much better engagement when you get coins. But BitChute does work here as well. It's very simple. By the way, Bastion is a versatile platform. It's got elements of Twitter. It has a video like YouTube. It also has, if you notice on the left, and if you could scroll up on the left, there's a section called long reads. These are medium type blogs. These are rich blogs where you can add graphics and videos. And this is a lot of work went into this. I mean, dozens of developers worked on this for years. So you will find that it's a versatile platform. Plus, I will tell you that Bastion is one of the few platforms that has a check that has an encrypted chat. On the right, you see there's a little circle with a little logo of Bastion. You click there. This is just a little notification that you can create chats. If you click on that, just click on the button welcome. Go there. You'll see that it explains that there's an encrypted messenger that is not connected to your phone number, that is end-to-end encrypted. There's a very strong encryption that nobody can read. Even Bastion servers that are run by users can't read your one-on-one messages because it's strongly encrypted. If you use messengers like WhatsApp or Telegram, they're not all encrypted peer-to-peer. Like there are some messengers that are encrypted peer-to-peer, like Signal and so on, but they're not integrated into a social network. So here you can actually invite your friends and you can have chats in here that are totally protected, that are not even connected to your name, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's super cool. Well, I think the result of this interview will be probably hundreds of people coming over and signing up to Bastion, people that hadn't heard about it prior to you coming on my little show here. So I really appreciate what you've done there, Daniel, and I appreciate the education today. Is there anything else you wanted to cover that we missed?
No, that's it. Thank you, Sean. And it's kudos to all the developers. I'm a math geek. I designed this concept, but there are lots of people who behind the scenes worked on this to make it happen. And new developers are joining all the time. If you're a developer that works and, you know, that's a pretty strong developer in, let's say, C++ or JavaScript, you can email core@bastion.com and you can join the team as well if you want to, you know, support the freedom.
Very cool. That's core, C-O-R-E, at bastion.com, bastion.com.
That's right.
Very good. All right. Well, we have a lot of patriots and a lot of dedicated digital soldiers out there following my work and the work of so many people who have been kicked off of YouTube. So you may get some emails regarding that, but I think you're going to get a lot of people signing up over at bastion.com. That's the bastion of free speech. Our guest has been the lead developer, Daniel Sachkov. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. And God bless, friends. Thanks so much for tuning in. As usual, a special thank you to our subscribe stars. Remember, we've been kicked off of Patreon. They're so vicious. And to our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a dedicated server beyond the reach of Big Brother. I want to thank all of you for keeping us in the fight for truth and real news. And for real news every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. And the sister site, thephaser.com, where I hand select video that I think you'll appreciate and might have a hard time finding otherwise. And of course, last but not least, thelibertymill.com. God bless you and your family, friends. Bye-bye.
The corruption of the human race and spiritual suppression of everybody is central to the zombification of civilization. You're looking at the main financiers who are criminal psychopaths who are getting away with this. What's their objective? Satanic. To suppress the spirituality of humanity. To do that, they need the frequencies.